We start at the bottom of Samach Tadam and Beis. So the Mishnah enumerated items that the Baal would give to his wife if he was feeding her Ayadei Shlish, right, of using a third party to feed her and to give her possessions. So one it says, Not lachatzikav kitniyat. Ve'ilu yayin luktoni. So the Gemara notes that wine was not included. She doesn't get, as part of her, allowance or a weekly allocation, there's no wine included there. Messiah le Rabbi Elazar. Dam Rabbi Elazar, ain poskoin yainot leisha. That we do not give wine to a woman. We don't assign wine to a woman that's being fed either because her husband is absent or because she's now a widow. Or because he's decided he wants to feed her, you know, through a third party rather than have her eat with him. Bim tomar, right? Why shouldn't she get wine? Right? Why shouldn't she get any wine? Elcha charei ma'avai nutnei lachmai mimaitz tzmariv pishti shmaniv shikuyai. Right? Sounds like what? That we know that the wine is a good hook and bait, meaning that the person who gives wine to the woman, that she's a somehow connected to that individual. And so why wouldn't the husband gives her wine, then she'll feel a sense of connection to him. So it sounds like it's a good idea to use wine. So where it says that shukuyai is not drinking or wine, but dvarim she'isha mishtokeket aleim, things that a woman is drawn to or runs after. What are those? Ma'niyu tachshitin, that's jewelry. So it's not literally wine, but rather jewelry. Thirish Rabbi Yehuda, Ish Kfar, Nibiraya, Barmila, Ish Kfar, Nafor, Chayo, Minayin, Chain Poskin, Yenel Isha. How do you know that women don't get wine? Shenem, Arba, Tokom, Chana, Chare, Chla, Bishilo, Vachare, Shato. Right, so when she was, this is in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, when she goes with Elkanah to up to Shiloh to eat. Right, it says after she was upset, after, looks like the pasuk says, after she ate and drank, that she went to daven in the Mikdash. But we know later on it says what? When Eli asks her if she was a shikora, right? She says, I didn't drink anything. Right? So what's the drasha here? So the Gemara says, Shato velo shatat, right? Or shatat. It says there, Shato, right, that was drunk, velo shatat. And that, not that she drank. He drank, but she did not drink. Meaning that Elkanah drank and not her. So the question of how the drasha works here is a little bit to do with the lashon, because it says there's an inconsistency in the pasuk. It says right, it says achla, and then it says shato. Right, it really should have said, it already mentions her name, atakam chana. Right, it should say achare achla v'achare shata. Right, it should be after, meaning that if it was referencing her, right, it should have used the same parallel achla and shato. And even that, it's not clear that it refers to her. Because achla without a shato, without a mapik hay, right, would be achla, meaning the food, not necessarily that she ate it, but rather that the food that was found at the table. The way the Gemara is learning this, or the way you would push up shah in the pasuk is tamachare achla means after they ate, meaning after everybody ate, she got up, not necessarily that she ate, right, achare shato, right, and after everybody drank. Right, that would be the way to learn the pasuk. What the Gemara here seems to be indicating is achrei ochla is that she ate, right? But, right, v'achrei shato is after he drank. Right, it should have said shato, which is that she drank, instead of saying shato, which is that he drank. So it was after she ate and he Elkanah drank, but she did not drink.
Why didn't you bring it up? We know the maskana that she said she wasn't drunk. So that means
right.
She didn't drink.
Right. Right.
Why is the Gemara even bringing this as proof? I mean, the bottom line is you know that she did not drink.
Because she says later on that she didn't drink, right?
Right. So, no, so I'm saying, when the Gemara, what's happening?
But here, it's because I think they want to bring her from a point where her husband was feeding her, right?
They're trying to prove that women get wine.
Don't get wine.
Ah,
so that's why. So this is here. Here, her.
She said, okay.
Chana says, this is what I got from Elkanah.
Well, it's not really proof. Maybe she didn't drink, but she didn't drink.
Right. It's not. It's definitely not smachta. Right. Okay, so lemeata ochla below achal, right? So say that you know that ochla means again food, but not that she eat. Achan achanami anan b'shanei kro, maybe. So anan b'shanei kro b'dubrei kaminim, right? We say because the pasuk changed its lashon, that's what caused us to say what we did say, meaning that you could have interpreted achla. Again, I think the simple interpretation of achla would be that they ate at the table, and Chateau was that again that they drank, not necessarily that she did, but the way the Gemara is interpreting it is what? That because it used the word achla, and if you look at Tosos, Gemara achla mapik hey, right? Apple pi shalo achla. Right, because it says even though she didn't drink. But that she got up after it was time to eat. That's what Tosva says. Now, Shato Velo Shatad is Mishani Kribidure Darish Hachi. So the fact that it changed, it could have continued Achla and Shato, and you would have come out with the same conclusion. The fact that it went Achla and then Shato, that's what's forcing the Gemara to say that she didn't eat drink at all. That she wasn't, or she wasn't even allocated wine to drink. Because the pasuk is talking about her, because it says "Vatkam Chana Vaati." My time was Shani. So why does it say Chateau instead of Chateau? Shmamina Chateau v'lo Chatat. That he drank and not her. That she did not drink. Okay. Meitve Regila Notim La. So the Gemara says that if she normally drank wine, if she was regular to get wine when her husband is around, Notim La, then we give her. Regila Shani says that's different. Someone who normally drank wine when her husband was there, then we continue to allocate her wine. Amar Rav Kanina Bar Kana, Amar Shmuel, Regila not in la kos echad. She normally got wine, we give her one cup. Shani Regila not in la shtei kosa. If she's not regular with wine, we give her two cups. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. So my kamar, right?
You gotta use it.
We gotta say my kamar. What's it saying? Amar by hafikamar Regila b'fnei bala shnei kosa. If she normally drinks two cups when her husband is around, shelo b'fnei bala not in la kos echad. When her husband's not around, we give her one cup. Mean that you have to read it that she's not normally drinking two cups in front of her husband, but one cup. Then she doesn't get any wine at all. Right, that someone who's used to, has normally has wine, we give her it for cooking. We give her wine to cook with, right, to use for the cooking purposes. Nakhdimon Gurion was a very wealthy, right, Jew in Yerushalayim. Famous stories was Nakhdimon Gurion that the Chama stopped for him, right, the sun stopped when he had to pay in the Gemara in Tanis, when he had to pay back the water for the old lady Regolim. So his daughter-in-law, Shepaskulah Chachamim Satayim Yain Lansikigdera, they gave her two saw of wine for cooking, for using for cooking purposes, every Shabbos, every Shabbos each week. So Amar Lahem, Kach Tifsikulah Benotechem. She says, so too, your daughter should get this type of allocation, meaning obviously it was both very generous, right, and a lot of wine. But Tana Shomeret Yibum Haita, she was waiting till her husband had passed away and she didn't have children, so she was waiting for Yibum. V'lonu Achare Amen. The Chachamim that were sitting there did not answer Amen to her. They did not respond Amen. Why? Amen means, right, came to Yeh, that it should be so. They didn't answer that, because even though the allocation of wine was something positive, nevertheless, her circumstances were not. So they didn't want to say, when she said, your daughter should be just like this, they didn't want to answer amen to this. All right, Tana, kos echad yofel isha shnayim nivuch. Right, so one cup is good for a woman. One cup of wine, that's good. Shnayim nivuch. That's already deteriorates, you know, her behavior will deteriorate. Shlosha tovat bapeh. Right, this is goes back to what we said the Gemara earlier, that a man is allowed to ask for relations, right, explicitly, while there's a woman, right, cannot. She can only hint to it, she can't ask explicitly. So here already, if she has three cups of wine, tovat bepesh, she asks explicitly for it. Arba, which would be inappropriate behavior, meaning that she's reaching the point. Arba, afilu chamor tovat b'shuk, ve'enu makperet, meaning that already she's at a point of being inebriated, that she won't even somebody, either inappropriate, even would ask her to be together, that she wouldn't end up, she doesn't care anymore. Meaning that she's at a point where she's not making discerning decisions anymore. All right, so I guess that's the Gemara's emphasis on that. One cup of wine would be appropriate for the woman, right? Not more than that. Amarava lo shana l'shein bala ima. That's when her husband is not with her. Right, about bala bima, leslamba, right? Then once her husband's with her, then we don't worry about it. Then she can drink because, you know, it's her husband. So that's okay. Bachana de bala ima havi, havai. Well, the whole proof that a woman doesn't drink wine comes from Bachana. And Chana is with Elkana. She's with Elkana, so why can't she drink? So Mar says, achsanai shaini, they were guests. Right? Damar avuna minayin achsanai shasur betashmisha mita, that when you're a guest in someone else's house, one should add, be involved in marital relations. Shenemar by Yeshkimo Babokir. It says about Elkanah and Chana that they got up in the morning. Bishtachvul lufnei Hashem. They went by out of Shiloh. They, you know, go to the Mishkan. They bow before Hashem. Bishuvu. Right, and they return home. Bayavuah. Baytama Ramata. Bayadai Elkanah. Chana Yishto. And only then did Chana get together with his wife, right, Chana. Bayiskira. Hashem, and then Hashem remembers her, meaning that only once they returned home did they have relations. Shahashta in Mikarlo. Only now did they have relations, but prior to that point in time they did not. Right? Because it would be inappropriate in the guest house. Therefore, she did not drink. So even though her husband's with her, had she drank so much, right, then she would want to spend time with her husband. And that would have been an inappropriate situation because they were guests in Shiloh rather than when she got home. So again, so the conditions would be when her Baal is with her, then we say there's no limit, but that's only when they're at home, right? Not when they're on the road.
Do we say there's no limit, or is it, do we go all the way up to four?
I don't know. It seems that that's what Gemara says, Lestalan Baal, which was modifying the cases of 1, 2, 3, and 4, and there it sounds like we don't worry about it. Right? It seems like almost it would be unlimited, or I guess as much as her husband would drink. Alright, Choma, the bitu de Abaye. So Choma was the wife of Abaye. Ate the Kamei de Rabba. This is after Abaye died. She was known as the killer widow. She had killed three husbands. Alright, at this point.
Says
right, so Abaye had passed away after marrying her. Ate the Kamei de Rabba. She came before Rabba in Beis Din to be Tobe Amalab Sokli Mizone. You know, I should be entitled to food out of the estate. Right? Psokla, he gave it to her. Psokli Chamra. She said, I should get wine out of the estate. Nachmani. Right, Nachmani was a nickname for Abaye. I know by Nachmani, the Lava Shati Chamra. He didn't drink wine. So I know you don't drink wine, so what's the story here that you're asking for wine? So Amalei, Chaye de Mar, Davi Mashkele, Bishufrize. Right, Kihai. That he used to feed me wine in these, you know, goblets, like these tall goblets like this. Right, so then she's showing him, Bahadi Kamachabule. When she was showing him the goblets, Igle Daro. Right, then her arm was exposed, right? She was somehow, her arm was exposed. Nafal Nahor V'Beidina. Right? Then a light came into the Beis Din. This is generally a term that the Gemara uses when it's somebody very beautiful. Right? You have this by Rabbi Yochanan back at the Gemara in Brachos, where he's lying on his bed, and they you know, he rolls up his sleeve, and then there's Nafal Nahor V'Beidina, then there's a light that falls in the room. This idea that when someone was very beautiful, then they associate a radiance or a light with it when they uncover their arms or even their legs. So now from the Rabbi Beitina, come Rava, Alu Beitis. So Rava, after she went home, right? Tava the Bat Rav Chista. So Bat Rav Chista, daughter, he was married to the daughter of Rav Chista. So he asked to have relations with her. Amalei Bat Rav Chista, man hava yidna be Beitina. She was a little suspicious. Who was in the Beis Din today that all of a sudden, right, you're interested in me? So says, Choma, the wife of Abaye, was in the Beis Din. So Nafka Batra, so she chased after, Bat Rav Chista chased after Choma. Machtala b'kufi d'shida, she was hitting her or chasing her with a lock of a argaz, right, a chest. Ad Achtala mikula mechuzah, until she chased her out of mechuzah. Right, Amra lo, she said to Katat laich klata, you already killed three husbands. Ba'ata the mikta lachrina, you're going to come try to, you're trying to kill another one, meaning that you're using your beauty to suck in another husband, and then you're going to kill him also, because she was already had a chazaka of killing husbands. Right, Tzvita de Rav Yosef Brei de Rava, the wife of Rav Yosef Brei de Rava, Ata the Kamei de Rav Nechemiah Brei de Rav Yosef, came before Rav Nechemiah Brei de Rav Yosef, Amar Lei, Psokli Mizone, Psakla, give me Mizono, so he gave it to her, Psokli Chamra, give me wine, Psakla, Amar La, Yadanehu B'Bnei Bechuza Deshate Chamra, I know that the people, women of Bechuza drink, so therefore I know that when you're asking for wine, that it's appropriate. Excuse me, Tzvita de Rav Yosef Brei de Rav Menashiah, so the wife of Rav Yosef Brei de Rav Menashiah, Medvil, Atai the Kamei de Rav Yosef, came before Rav Yosef. Amalei Psokli Mizone, she asked for Mizone. Psakla, he gave her Mizone, Psakli Chamra. Psakla, she asked for wine, he gave it to her. Psokli Shirai, give me, silk clothing, give me, you know, really fancy clothing. Amalei Shirai, Mama, what do you need all this fancy clothing for? Right, so because we said before that that a widow who's staying by the estate and collecting out of the estate, we say that she's entitled to that as long as she's still Miss Abel, right, on her original husband. Meaning that once she starts already to get dressed up and go out, right, or another husband, the Gemara discussed earlier, possibility of another husband, another man asks her to marry. Or the fact that she puts on makeup and goes out, that already might not entitle her to eat out of the estate anymore because it's clear that her husband's memory is no longer the key element, right, of her considerations here. So over here he's saying, what do you need shirai for? If you're going to eat out of the estate, you're going to need drink out of the estate, what do you need all this fancy clothing for? So Amr Lei, she said back to him, she says, for you, your friends, and your friends' friends, meaning that she believed that for her stature and for her to maintain the, you know, the proper, you know, kavod that she was entitled to, that she needed to dress this way, and that she wasn't dressing in order to go out, right, and attract other people, but she was dressing this way to maintain her kavod in front of other people, whether it was him or others that were out there, that she should retain the status that she had prior to this. All right, but noting the other things that she gets is a mita and a mafetz. She gets a bed and a, like a straw, some sort of straw mat. So mafetz umachatzelet lamala. Why does she get both? Why does she get both a mafetz and a machatzelet? Both of these are some sort of mat. The mafetz seems to be a softer mat than the machatzelet. Truthfully, the rabbinic time here was only goreis machatzelet lamala. Why does she get a machatzelet? Obviously, she gets a mafetz because she's got a bed and she needs a sheet of some sort of something to put on it, or she could use it for when she eats. She can lay on it, meaning that she doesn't have to eat the bed, and then she can have something else to sit on or to eat on. So he says the real question here is why she get a machatzelet. If she's already getting mafetz, what does she need a machatzelet for? So lamala d'hoi v'lo. Why does he have to give it? Amra papa ba'atra din higi de malu puriya b'chavle. It's a city or a state where they used to make the beds out of ropes, right? The mevagerla, that so if their ropes are uncomfortable because when you rubbed against you, they, right, either, here the Gemara says it ages you, but whatever, it was uncomfortable and left the person in the worst state for having slept on it. So therefore she gets a machatzela to put on top or of the rope so that it would not hurt her when she slept on it. So in Tana Rabbana, ain't nothing like karvikeset. She does not get pillows and either a mattress or a comforter. Shem Rabbi Natan Amru, nothing like karvikeset. Rabbi Natan says you do get it. So hey chidami, what's the case here? Either orcha, if she was used to me that when she came to her home, her household where she came from, they slept with pillows and comforters. My time is in Tana Kama. Then why does the Tana Kama say she doesn't get it? If she is coming from a place where she doesn't get these items, my time at the Rabbi Natan. Then why does Rabbi Natan say she's entitled? Hello, Tzricha, if you're going to Orchei Didei. Right? It's his. Normally, it's his way. From his family, the minhag is that the people sleep, he sleeps, or the women sleep with pillows and comforters or mattresses. So then what? We said before, Ole Mo, Veno Yoredi Mo. She gets the entitlement of joining his minhagim when it's an upward, right, mobility for her. Lav or chedidah, but it's not her custom. So Tanakama Sava Amar Law, he can say to her, Ki Azilna. Right? Remember, she's now not sleeping in the house with him. He's providing her in a separate house. So she's really only entitled to the higher standard of living when he's with her. I mean, when he's not with her, she's not entitled to that higher standard of living. So what, he's going to show up. So when he shows up and he sleeps on a pillow and with a comforter or a mattress, so she too can sleep with those items. So what is he going to say? He says, Ki Azilna Shakinalo. When I come, I'll bring it. Right? I mean, I'll leave. When I leave, I'll take it. When I come back, I'll bring it. But yeah, you're entitled to a pillow mattress, but when I come, I'll bring them for you. Not that I'm going to leave you. You're not going to sleep on them every day, because then you're going to wear them out, and I'm going to have to pay for new ones afterwards. So I'll bring them when it's, you know, when I show up. I mean, either once a week or whatever the time. Right? The Mishnah said that he had to show up once a week. So at that time, when we're together, I will make sure that you have what you need at that time. So that's why she's not entitled to it. But Rabbi Natan Savar Malay Zimnit to be Rami Ben Shmoshos. Maybe it'll be a time Ben Shmoshos, probably meaning Erev Shabbos, right? It'll be close to Shabbos, and you won't be able to carry them over, right? V'lo Matzid Ma'itilu, and you won't bring them with them. Then you're going to take my mafetz and machatzela to Mangidli Alara and put me to sleep on the ground, right? Because you're not going to be able, you're not going to bring your pillows and mattresses, and you're going to want to sleep comfortably like you normally do, and you're going to dump me on the ground, right? So much for chivalry.
That's a little strange. The Gemara says that if he's there, it sounds like he has to bring it.
Right.
And then the Gemara is saying that the concern is that you might come and you might take my stuff. Well, the Gemara is saying you might come and not bring it.
I mean, that's what they did say. They say you won't bring it.
You won't bring it and you're going to take away my stuff. That means
right.
If it wasn't going to take away my stuff, it would be okay.
Right.
In the first part, it says that when you're there, you have to have it. You
know, right. So Tosfos asked a question similar to you. Why not just give her an extra muffins? Instead of giving her a car of a cassette, give her an extra muffins. Because if he shows up, right, and he dumps it, then she'll have, she has two, And he can't dump her off because he'll use the.
The first part was that when he's there, she has to have a pill. It seems.
But he won't have one either. She's only entitled to have it when he's there. Now he comes, he doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it.
But no, her fear is what? When he doesn't come with his pillow and his blankets, he's going to take her Muffets. So why not just give her a Muffets. Second Muffets? Right. So that's ask that question. He says over here, his parish becomes shelter the dima fetch leave. And lock shows him cane. Tiski lava shne ma fatsim. Give her two mattresses or two little, you know, mats, and then she won't need a when there's a problem, she'll just give him the other mat.
Actually, not even the minimum that he's providing for, but that she'll buy her own.
And then he'll use hers.
And he'll use hers.
Right. So that's what So here, Tosfos suggests that what? He says, "Ein lachashem kein tizki labishneim afasin." The Shemai talks shuhuma unag. Since he's a spoiled brat, if he's a really mufunak, right? So what? He's gonna come and he's gonna say, "Shadat tohur galishal kevakar." Normally, I sleep on a pillow, right? Itoshneim afatim latzma. He's gonna take both mats to make up for the fact that he doesn't have a pillow. So that's what.
And is the same alach and almana?
What?
All this is the same alach and almana when she's taken from the state, or it's different.
The mamana is taken from the estate, then we don't say, we say whatever she's used to, right? I mean, that what she ever did before. Here it's got to do with the. Here it's very particular.
Right, because here he's alive, and this is specifically going on when he's.
At her house, right? Right.
So the quality,
my question is, does he have to leave it there on a regular.
And it's interesting, even though she mala or something, but if he's not around then. She's back to her normal.
Her normal state, right. Her entitlement to this extra status is only.
Here's the standard that she would like to become accustomed to.
Right. Good. But I'm saying, while her husband was alive, she always had a karvah kesed, then as
right,
an amana, she
then becomes right,
the standard which we give her out of the estate.
If he's alive, then depends if he's around or not.
Right. But if he did give, even when he's alive, if he gave it to her, then that will entitle her after his death.
Right.
But no din la kippah. He has to give her a kippah. Amalei Rav Papa Levi. Hi, Tana, Shliach Artilai, Rami Misane. This Tana has a strange balance of what he thinks the woman needs, right? He's giving the woman clothes once a year, and he's giving her shoes three times a year. So he goes, this Shliach Artilai, Rami Misane, they're going to be walking around naked and walk with shoes. So I have good shoes and no clothes to wear. I mean, what type of setup is this where she's getting shoes three times a year and she's getting clothing once a year? So I'm like, Tana B'makom Harim Kai. They lived in the mountains. Where the shoes wore down very fast. I guess in the mountains, a lot of climbing, a lot of walking. And therefore, the shoes wore down much faster. So since they wore down much faster, therefore, she would only require one set of clothing, but she would require three sets of shoes to get through the year. So the Mishnah, or the Tana, makes a side point that when he gives her the shoes, may as well give it to her. May as well give it to her on the Moed. Right, may as well get the double benefit. Not only going to give her shoes, she's entitled to the shoes, so may as well give it to her on the Moed where she go get Simcha out of it. Right? So it's just interesting because then she's going to end up with two pairs of shoes in Pesach and Shavuot, and then she'll have a gap between Sukkot and Shavuot, right, of 6 months. So it's a little bit of an imbalance of when she may need the shoes. Right?
Put these away for later.
Right, exactly. All right. V'kelim shel chamishim zuz. So she's entitled to clothing worth chamishim zuz. So we discussed yesterday when we were discussing about the shtei sudos. We talked about, or we also discussed the tari pikein, right? That the what type of money are we talking about, right? There's money of tsuri, right? The tsuri money, which is basically the Torah scaled money, and then there's what's called the money of the medina, the regular coinage that was out there. The regular coinage is about an eighth of the size of the coinage of tsuri of the Torah size coinage. So now, when it says chamishim zuz, are we talking about 50 zuz of the, you know, going coinage, right, of the Medina coinage, or are we talking about 50 zuz of the tsuri coinage, which will have, I mean, has big applications, 400 of the zuz of the Medina. So which one is it? Chamishe zuze pshite. When we're talking about the chamishim zuz, these are 50 zuz Medina of the going currency right now, right, that are what? That's 1/8 of the zuz of the tsuri. Mimai, how do you know this? When we're talking about a poor person in Israel, but if he was wealthier, right, then he gave her more. She was entitled to more. Right? If you really thought there was 50 zuz of tsuri, ani chamishim zuz min ali. Where does an ani have that type of money? That's just not the set, that's not the type of money that an ani is going to come up with. We're talking about 50 zuz of regular coinage, of going currency coinage today. All right. Chadoshim, right? You can't give her, you know, new ones in the summertime. And then it talked about mizonos, right? It talked about what she. Tarnaban motar mizonot labau. The excess, if he gives her food for her mizonos, I mean the list that we have in the Mishnah, he gives her that. What happens if there's excess? Who does the excess belong to? So here it says the excess belongs to the baal. Motar below yisha. The leftover worn down clothing that belongs to the woman, which is what we discussed in the Mishnah. She gets to keep those, right? So motar leblot leisha lo malo. What does she need? What, I mean, why should he get to keep them? He's given her new clothing already. Why can't he get the shmatas back, right? Tzamar achbosh mitkasvam bimei nidata shalot itganev al balosh, because she'll use them when she's a nida, right? So again, this is generally in their time, right? The nida really lived in a separate place, and she really had to wear separate clothing because she would stain that clothing, right? And she was tamei during that time, meaning that especially if you enter Tuman Tara, right? That if she wore clothing that she normally wore, you know, outside of her period of nida, then she would be metamei it, and then she'd have to metaher that clothing, which presented difficulty. So they wore when they were in nidot, they both different clothing because it got dirty, but also because of the Tuma aspect of it. So she'll use this older clothing when she's a nida.
Rashi says just be made to asab ladeshes begadim shalav shabi meini does. That just the fact that she's wearing the same
clothing will upset her husband.
He'll associate, you know, he sees her. Yeah,
right, well, nidu, and there they came from nidui, right? It's the term of nidui, which is someone who's outside, right, pushed out. Or, so in there, that was viewed, a nidu was viewed as a, right, almost as a being outside, being dirty, outside, an outcast, right? So that when she comes back, she wants to come back in a, you know, meaning something that doesn't associate with that, that sense of being an outcast or being a nidu. All right. Amar Abayi, Naktinan Mutar Blot Almano the Yorshat, that the leftover clothing, the shmatas of the Almana, go back to the Yorshim. Hazam Hudulot Tzgane Be'ape, Hachat Tzgane V'Tzgane. Over there, what are we worried about? When the husband's alive, we're worried about what if she wears that her normal clothing when she's a Nida, that will cause her husband to be disgusted with that association. Right over here, what are we worried about? That someone's going to be disgusted that she wears the same clothing when she's a Nida or not? Meaning that, again, the idea that she's eating out of the estate is because she's still, what? She's still a widow. She still has emotions about her husband, and she still feels the loss of her husband, and therefore she's staying at the estate. If already she's trying to, right, impress others or to dress up, then already we know that she shouldn't belong in the estate. So the fact that she's tzgane, we shouldn't worry about that. So therefore, the leftover shmatas go back to the yorshim. They note on law mo kesef, mayo chelet. Right, so we said that she's entitled to eat with him once a week. Milele Shabbos, Milele Shabbos. What does that mean that she's entitled to eat with him? Rav Nachman Amar Uchelet Mamash. She's entitled to have Friday night dinner with him. That's the entitlement. She can't feed her outside the house all the time. Right, Ravashi Amar Tashmish. No. What it means is once a week she's entitled to spend time with him. So it's na Nachulatimo Lele Shabbos. Right, Bishlam Adaman Damar Achilo Hainu Ditani Uchelet. Right, that's why it uses the word Uchelet. Lamandamar Tashmish, my ochelet. Why does it use the term ochelet? So lishnama al yakdichtiv. That's a, right? It's a nice way. It's a
euphemism,
right? Good word for it. A euphemism for Tashmish, dichtiv, achla, right? The Gemara brings this down in other places. Achla umachtapia v'amra lopalti oven. Right? She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I did nothing wrong. But the idea that here's a woman who has, done illicit things, right? And then she kind of says like nothing happened, washes up and says nothing happened. So again, the term here, the Mishlei, they use the term achla, right, for those illicit actions, not literally eating. So you see, there's that type, that is the lushan you would use for a euphemism in this case. Meitvei, Reb Shimon Omer, it's now a problem. Why? Reb Shimon Omer, ochel b'leilei Shabbos, v'Shabbos. She's not only entitled to Friday night, she's also entitled to a Shabbos morning meal with him. That makes sense. If she's entitled to eat, then it makes Friday night and Shabbos day, she's entitled to eat with him. Right, the one who says that it's Tashmish, Tashmish Shabbos Mi'ika, When she, why do we say, what's going on? Why is the Tashmis on Shabbos? Why not? Right, that they don't have relations during the day. So why would she be entitled to having relations with him during the day? So Mar says, then Rava modify or qualify that statement, but Ofel Mutar. If you can simulate nighttime, then it's okay during the day. If you can darken the house, right? If you can close out the shades, that's the equivalent of nighttime. So you could even say that she's entitled during the day. He said if she was nursing, then he has to increase her mizonos and reduce her work, right? Her work output, whatever her work is. The Rish Rabbi Ula Rabba. So Rabbi Ula Rabba, a pitchat benisiyah, afal pishamru ein adam zanet banavu benotav. Even though we said what, that a person does not have to feed his children, right? This we had earlier in the Gemara. Even though he doesn't have to feed his children, we say to him he should do it anyway mitzad stoka, right? And possibly, and then that's a big question. That was a huge question on the daf, whether you can be kofinal at tzedaka, right? And in the question in the Gemara over there. But again, we can't. A person, there's no obligation to feed his children. Nevertheless, kashen ketanim, avazan ketanei ketanim. That is, he doesn't have to feed them when they're young kids, but when they are toddlers, he is required to feed them. So ad kama, when's that cut off? When's the threshold between a toddler and a young child? So ad ben sheish, till six. So until 6 years old, the father is responsible for feeding and is obligated. It sounds like we'd be being kofinoto, right? That we would force him to feed his children. But after six, then that's an optional. That if he feeds him out. Rabbi Yasi, Katam Ben Sheish, Yotze Be'erimo. Till the age of six, a kid is automatically assumed to go wherever his mother's Eruv is. I mean, here's an Eruv where they can walk, 2,000 Amos, and she sets her Eruv one way, and her husband sets the Eruv the other way. Right? So they have a competing Eruvim. Which way does the kid go? Does he go with the mother or the father? So Rabbi says that Rabbi Yasi says, up to the age of six, the kid automatically goes with the mother. So you see, until the age of six, that's a child is still dependent on the mother, and almost it's almost a entitlement through the mother that he'll get fed until the age of six. So Mar says, how do you know this? Right, we reduce her output or her required output, and we give her more food. My time. Why do we give her extra food? Maybe she has to feed this other kid with her, meaning that she gets food for herself as well as this child who's under the age of six. Where it says, maybe she's getting extra food because she's sick. Then write that in the Mishnah if she's sick. So why does it say if she's nursing? So where it says, that's exactly what the Mishnah is trying to say, that a woman who's nursing is in a weakened state and therefore she should get more food. So Itmar, Amar Shubin, Avin Levi, Mosifin La Yayin, Shayin Yofil Chalov. Right, so first of all, no proof from our Mishnah, but you could suggest that it seems to be that right here the Gemara is suggesting that the extra food is for the son who's may not even be nursing anymore. That's what the Mishnah is suggesting, rather than what? But the simple shot of the Mishnah is that she gets more food because she's nursing and therefore she needs more food, right? She's weakened or she needs more food to produce more food. Right, so Itmar, Amar Rabbi Shubin Levi, Mosifin La Yayin, Shayin Yofil Chalov, which sounds more like our Mishnah than what? Give her extra wine when she's nursing because wine is good for production of milk. All right? I don't know if that's scientifically proven, but right, that alcohol is good for the milk. All right, next parak. There's actually a machlokas here. Go ahead. There's a machlokas here. Which parak should come next? Right, Yushalmi and Tosfos notes that the next parak is the one we have here, which has been Siyas Aisha. Rashi, on the other hand, had the following parak be the continuation here, which is the Hamadir at Ishto, the one who takes a nether for his wife, because there it says what? Mehelanos lo adlamid yom yamid parnes. Right, that he should establish a parnes, someone, a party to feed her for 30 days if he's mudur hanah from her. So Rashi says that Mishnah makes sense. It continues from here. Because here we talked about what? Using a shlish. Right? He was mashreher. He was giving her through a third party. So Rashi says that Mishnah should continue here. And then afterwards you have Matias Isha, which continues the what are the obligations, husband and wife, and what belongs to whom? So Tabatasana says, no, it's the other way around. We continue with the theme here. And then it goes on to Madarishto, and he has a looser connection to that case later on. But everybody, Rashi seems to have a gear so that switches the Brachim. I guess we follow, Tosfos, the Yerushalmi, everybody says.
It's the wrong Rashi.
What?
It's the wrong Rashi.
Right. Right, so a woman finds lost items, so Masi Yadel, and her production is for her husband. Yushata, right? Who ochel peirot bechaya? Right, that he, if she gets Yerusha, she gets some sort of inheritance from a different, from whatever reason she entitled to inheritance. The husband may not take that inheritance, right? But rather, what does he do? He has to buy land with it, and he's able to eat anything that output of the land, but the keren stays for the woman. Now, if she predeceases him, right, then he'll get the Yerusha as well. But if he dies first, then that remains, right, that remains with her. Right, b'chaya boshta u'pigama shela. Right, her boshes and pagam, anytime she would collect on boshes and pagam, that belongs to her. When it's a, meaning that the wound or the, she was hit somehow, whatever, something that happened, then if it's in a place that's not normally exposed, then she gets 2/3, he gets 1/3 of it. Right? But when it's a visible wound that's been caused, then he gets 2/3 of it, she gets 1/4 of it. Right, because what? The question is, how much is he impacted by her either disfigurement or the wound that's caused to her? So if it's a wound that's not normally visible, then to outsiders, right, he's not embarrassed by her appearance, and therefore what? He's only bothers him when they're together, right? So therefore, he's only put up to 1/3, and most of the boshes and the embarrassment pagam go to her. Whereas if it's in a visible place on her body, right, then we give him more because he's going to be more impacted by the visible wound to her, that he's going to be embarrassed somehow more by that than the pagam term. He's entitled to get it, meaning that he gets his money right away. But the same patent, right? That what? You buy land with it, and he'll eat it because it becomes like a yerusha. Whatever possession belongs to her outside, I mean, any possessions she owns outside of the marriage, right? Those possessions function the same way, which is that you buy land with it, he gets any produce out of that land, but the keren stays hers. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Tanina, we already learned. The father is entitled to her kesef, kiddushin, or the shtar of the bia. Zakai b'mitziata u'b'masei yadel. Right? The baal is in excess of what the father gets. And that what? He gets the mitzia, anything that she finds, u'masei yadel, faras nederel. Right? Mekabo v'kito v'eno ilchel peirot b'chaya. Right, so I'm sorry. These are all for the father. So far, right? That what he gets her mitzia, he gets her maaseh, he can do hafaras nedara, and he gets the gita. He doesn't get any of her output, meaning that if anything she owns outside of her father's ownership, that she doesn't get anything. Nisait, if she gets married, then the husband has better rights than the father in what? Shuochel peirot b'chayel. Boshto upkama. He gets these three items where he gets to eat the output, right, of the value of these items. So Gemara says, it's trichale. We need our Mishnah because of the plug to the Rabbi Yehuda ben Teiru and the Rabbanon. What? The plug, the machlok between the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda ben Teiru. That what? How much of the boshto upkama is she entitled to? The Tanakhama, she's entitled to all of it, right? The Rabbanon says she's entitled to all. Yehuda ben Teiru says it depends on the circumstance. She either gets 2/3 or 1/3. That we wouldn't learn out from the Mishnah, right, early on about what the father and the husband's rights were. All right, why don't we stop here because this will go into tomorrow's daf.